1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Developments in the war between Israel and Hamas. Secretary of State Antony Blinken calling for the Palestinian Authority to oversee Gaza and the West Bank instead of Israel. Talks underway on a deal to get desperately needed humanitarian aid into the war zone and hostages out.
Israeli ground forces say they've destroyed 130 Hamas tunnels. Talks for a pause in the fighting are ongoing. Sources say Israel is considering a proposal from Egypt and Qatar for a humanitarian pause in exchange for the release of dozens of hostages held by Hamas.
ABC's Liz Landers. Hollywood celebrating the end of the actor's strike. SAG-AFTRA President Fran Drescher tweeted on X, quote, "We did it." And Republican candidates for president squared off in a debate last night in Miami, where frontrunner former President Trump was a no-show the Israel-Hamas war top issue. This is ABC News. In Michigan today, a court hears arguments over whether the 14th Amendment to the Constitution bars Donald Trump from running for re-election. Case also playing out in Colorado and Minnesota involves the former president's actions around the January 6th insurrection. The Minnesota Supreme Court has ruled his name can appear on the primary election ballot, but opponents could try to keep Trump off the general election forms if he wins the Republican nomination. A rare event at last night's Country Music Association Awards.
Lainey Wilson took home the big prize, Entertainer of the Year, Wednesday night's CMA Awards.
You know, I've been in this town for 12 and a half years, and it finally feels like country music is starting to love me back. I love it with my whole heart.
It's the first time a woman has won the top prize in 12 years, since Taylor Swift did it in 2011. Wilson also won Album of the Year for Bell Bottom Country. The show aired on ABC. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The delusions of grandeur have come to an end, as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Tom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden holds a slim lead over Donald Trump in the latest Marquette University Law School poll. Biden leads Trump 50% to 48% among registered voters. That's well within the survey's margin of error. But the Marquette poll also has Republicans Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley leading Biden in Wisconsin. 42% say they have a favorable view of Biden, only 37% for Trump. Members of the nurses' union at UW Health plan to deliver 100 pages of safety violations to the state health department. Union members say most of the issues stem from understaffing. Officials with UW Health say that patient safety is not a bargaining chip for the union. Hospital officials say they are working collaboratively with the union to increase staffing. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Giannis gets ejected from the game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was the Bucks and the Pistons at Fiserv Forum. Third quarter, Bucks up by 11, and Giannis takes it full court, slams down a signature dunk. The call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Giannis' third block, he's going to take it all the way! A hammer like nobody has!
After the bucket, Giannis followed up with a monster face and then a whistle foul. Number 34, technical for celebration.
And if they called a technical
foul on Giannis, that's his second, and he would be gone for the game.
And he seems unapologetic about it. He's saying he's out.
What did he do?
Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin after the game.
I thought he made a tremendous play, and he was extremely respectful to the refs. And, you know, I think I just got to do a better job of protecting him.
The final, Milwaukee 120, Detroit 118. The Bucks now head to Indiana to play the Pacers. Game time tonight, 6 o'clock. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. 44 today, under partly cloudy skies. West winds, 20 to 25 miles per hour. 29 tonight, chance for scattered showers. High of 39 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 33.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Thursday, November 9th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app or by podcast or on social media. Nice to have you along on this Thursday morning from our home base, 93.5 The Tap. In Chippewa Falls, here's what's on tap for this morning. We will review the third presidential primary among the bench warmers, the people hoping that their team's quarterback, Donald Trump, pulls in Aaron Rodgers and ruptures his Achilles or, I don't know, goes to prison. Anyway, Joe Zepecki will also help us try to understand the growing chasm between actual election results and actual economic data. The chasm between that and the doom and gloom of people who talk to public opinion pollsters. So that's coming up this hour. In our second hour, how can we help you with healthcare? For the past year or so, Dr. Kristen Lyerly has had a hometown health segment Thursdays at 7:30 and has introduced us to many guests and many topics related to public and individual health. And this week, instead of a guest, we're going to be asking you, what would you like this segment to tackle in 2024? What things about healthcare need to be better explained? What kind of guests would help you in your quest for better health? So throughout between now and 7:30, we'll be asking this a few times to try to get you to either give us a call at 7:30 or to text or email questions into us. So I should probably tell you how to do that. 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can call or you can text that number. We'll see it here on one of these nifty computer screens and tell folks what you're writing about. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on one of the Facebook pages where we run a live video feed of the show, just put your question or comment in the comments section, and we'll maybe put it up and answer it and address it there. We'll also get the weatherology forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki and plenty of other sports and other news headlines that we will unpack for you. 6 a.m. temperatures around the state look like this. Up here in Chippewa Falls, 34 degrees on the lake, 35 in Hayward. Park Falls is at 31. Green Bay, 37. La Crosse, 37. Wisconsin Rapids, 33. Oshkosh at 36 degrees. And it is 36 degrees in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where we find one Greg Bach.
Good Mr. morning.
Bach. Good morning. How are we? We've made it this far.
We're doing
We've
good.
Made it to Thursday.
I mean, the Thursday, we're like almost halfway through November.
Yep. Yep.
My mom has only sent me two emails saying, Greg, I need your list.
For Christmas?
Christmas.
No, okay. All right. And you have not given that to your mom yet?
No.
That's it. That's it. You're teed up. You're out of here. Because apparently that's the rule here is ejections can be done anytime. It doesn't matter if you're Giannis or if you're Greg Bach. Anybody can be ejected because you had a funny face.
Yeah.
Did you see the video of Giannis getting tossed from the game?
Look, I played 4 years of basketball from fourth grade to eighth grade, and I saw worse taunts like that at like age 12. Okay.
Look, even if you did somehow penalize somebody for taunting, I don't even know that making a face like that. I mean, usually to me, it's like, you know, a finger wag or some kind of a gesture, but your face?
I would have called him for traveling before I called him for.
Oh, my God. Yes, but then you'd have to disband the league.
Yeah, exactly.
If you took away what we grew up thinking was traveling. Hey, there's another interesting headline down by you that I saw in the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah. I think I know where you're going.
The headline, the Milwaukee Brewers, this is the Journal Sentinel headline, the Milwaukee Brewers just bought a property near the ballpark for $2 million, period, for storage. Period. It's almost like they don't believe that the Brewers don't want to eventually, you know, build some kind of an entertainment district, even though they say they have no plans to.
Yeah.
This whole thing's gotten so much more convoluted than it needs to be.
We're opening a bar called The Storage. It's fooled you.
Hey, I wouldn't mind one of those storage shed bars. You ever see those? You know, people that take a shed in their backyard and they kind of turn it into like an English pub or something like that.
That would be cool.
I would do something like that. But as far as the Brewers go, you know, again, there's been more changes to the bill and how much state money goes in. And we heard Senator Jeff Smith talk about it yesterday. And the whole reason I don't dive deep into it, you know, here yet on this show is I feel like there's still going to be so much happening and so much of it is going to be, I don't know, unnecessary. It's like we've got things like, you know, the child care crisis to deal with and the worker shortage and all that other, you know, so for the team to, you know, have to make this and the legislators to have to make this last longer. Let me just put it this way. I'm glad they're buying the land. I know it's not for storage. Wink. They've seen the Titletown district going up around, you know, Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
They've seen similar buildups around their stadiums. I think they didn't want to be the bad guys to say, hey, we're going to have less tailgating space because we're going to put up this district. But I think eventually they're going to say, hey, you know, not as many people tailgate as they used to. We're still going to have this area for tailgating, but we're going to build this up. And I think it'll be great if they do it someday.
I don't know if anyone told you this, Pat. So on Asgos, Wisconsin, which is on from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. here at the Civic Radio Network, you're welcome. Plug. But we have Dan Schaefer on once a week from the Recombobulation area, and we've dove deep into this. And something that people don't – like when the tailgating thing comes up, Dan always brings up, we have more parking spots at Miller Park than Disney World.
The first time I saw that he wrote that, I like, well, that's sarcasm. No, apparently it's not.
You took a few, just take 2,000 of them, develop on there, and you still have 10,000 spots, plenty of area, and also make it like, all right, this is the tailgating area here. It's protected, but 12,000, I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's certainly room to do that. And Dan has always been writing, you know, such great stuff about that, about tearing down the stadium freeway, turn that into a parkway, 794, the same thing down there in Milwaukee. And so I'm really thankful for the insight that Dan brings to that. And frankly, staying on top of it and keeping some people honest down there. That needs to happen more often.
Yeah.
The Up North News Daily Newsletter is out and kind of a Veterans Day theme, since that's coming up this weekend. And so one of the stories is about Wisconsin veterans who start a barbecue business that's gone national, thanks to some help from the Veterans Business Outreach Center. So to get that and more, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's see what I wanted to say a bit more about hometown health here coming up at 7:30. And So we get this note from Dr. Lyerly, and she says, you know, be sure to loop in Greg. It was like a homework assignment. Apparently, Greg, we're doing a group project now. And
oh, man.
I know. So she said, well, you know, want some ideas on what hometown health could be about, you know, down the road here. And so I just off the top of my head, I jotted one of the things that motivated me to think about this was, like it or not, when you get to be a certain age, you start getting this.
Yeah.
I'm holding up for the camera for Greg, the AARP newspaper. Nobody actually goes out and says, hey, I want to join AARP. They come find you. We say, our records show that you are officially in your elderly adolescence. And then you look at the discounts and the other things and you go, okay, I'll join. And so then you keep getting more things from them. Anyway, the latest edition of their paper is all about the, you know, Medicare and these Medicare Advantage plans and how there's actually more people on Medicare Advantage plans than on traditional Medicare, which kind of alarmed me because I've always thought that these Medicare Advantage plans were, or some of them could be a bit of a scam.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask if she wanted to do a few segments like that about Medicare Advantage, about Medicare for All. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. What would it look like? Why are Republicans so dead set against it? So I had that one. I had a note written down to tell her, how about one about the punchline that I make about myself all the time, elderly adolescence, or to steal a book title, what to expect when you're expecting to turn 60, and talk a bit more about that. Here's one for me, and you may disagree. I don't know, but one of the for me, how is smoking still a thing? I've never smoked. I don't. Everybody knows cigarettes will kill you, and yet people start it all the time. So maybe something about smoking cessation, health and food. You know, how about some easy recipes for something healthy? Because I eat so much processed food. It'd be great to get some healthy food ideas.
I also think that living in a world where we're drowning in ads, whether it's on your phone, your computer, your TV, about I use this and I lost weight and blood. It's like, having a doctor who's concerned about health, like Dr. Lyerly is, just give the basic, here's what you need to do. And I'm not saying we sit up here and dispel things like John Oliver does, but I'm saying just getting the real information out there. This is what you need to do. You want to lose a little weight? This is what you need to do. Very basic. I know. And we all know what it is, but I'm not a doctor. Dr. Lyerly is.
Dr. Lyerly is. So how about if we, and she, is busy, working with ladies and delivering babies. Yeah. And so I think she likes the fact that for at least a morning, she's got a couple of male patients.
Yeah.
Who are going, doctor, can you look at this thing? Please tell me what this is.
It hurts. Actually, that's whether it's her talking about it or bringing a male doctor on to talk about this, the fear that men have about going to the doctor, opening up about our medical problems, those kinds of things as well. I think that's an important issue to discuss. As I'm getting older, as you are getting older, as we're all getting older, and as men need to do, we need to be better about our health.
And that may include going to doctors that are somewhat not traditional. When my wife was going to school to be an OBGYN, they were still mostly men.
Yeah.
It was a different world. Well, now there's more, family practice and internal physicians. And the first time when I needed a new doctor, my other one had retired, and Sherry suggested this woman. I'm like, I don't know about this. Love her. Oh. She answers every question, is so understanding. You get over the thing, and you just get a good doctor is a good doctor is a good doctor.
And also, never forget the nurse practitioners who are out there, too.
Yes.
They are wonderful.
Without a doubt. When we come back in just over 60 seconds, there was this debate last night. I think debate is the right term. Whatever it was amongst the Republican benchwarmers, we'll cover that in just a sec. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This album came out on this day in 1973, I think. I don't have my notes in front of me for today's history lesson, but I will, I promise, at about 6:50 when we find out more about Billy Joel's landmark album. All right, let's turn to the Republican debate as they face an increasingly urgent task to emerge as a clear alternative to former President Donald Trump. Five Republican presidential candidates gathered Wednesday for the party's latest debate. Trump, of course, refused to be asked actual questions or abide by time cues or defend his record. And yet, even though he wasn't there, given the opportunity to call out Trump, to criticize him or his record or, you know, trying to overthrow the government, none of those candidates on stage could muster anything that gave voters a reason to reconsider Trump and choose one of them. The contenders, according to press reports, were united in offering robust support for Israel and bemoaned anti-Semitism, especially on liberal college campuses, but they said virtually nothing about protecting Palestinian civilians in Gaza. There were plenty of confrontations on stage. From where I was last night, I could look around the corner at the TV, couldn't hear it, didn't want to hear it. I could look and see that once again, Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy were mixing it up again. And it's just so clear that Ramaswamy is, by accident or by design, Vladimir Putin's agent of chaos in this race. Remember, the Russians did interfere in the 2016 election. The question was how much coordination was there with the Trump campaign or with Trump himself. There was interference. They did not want Hillary to win. And let me go off on another tangent for a moment, mentioning Hillary Clinton. There's a clip going around social media, and I watched it this morning, and I can't recommend it highly enough. It's from The View, and might be the first nice thing I've said about The View, but here's the thing. Sometimes they give a guest time to talk, whereas cable news hosts are all the time interrupting people after, you know, at most 30 seconds of an answer. And for this 8-minute clip, Hillary Clinton talking about the situation in Gaza is a masterclass in what made her an effective Secretary of State, why she was right about everything in 2016, why the Russians did not want her to win in 2016, and sowed chaos through social media and through other avenues. And now you've got, back to the debate, you've got Ramaswamy doing the same thing, not only saying that Ukraine should surrender, he refers to Ukraine's Jewish president as a Nazi. That's just flat out parroting Russian propaganda. And so Ramaswamy, you know, at one point, again, just to be, you know, chaos, made reference to Nikki Haley's daughter being on TikTok, and Nikki Haley angrily called him scum. Tony's got a comment on Facebook that calls attention to it and said that was nice. It was needed. And again, it's not going to deter him, just like attacks on Trump didn't deter him. But it's still important to set the record. And if you think somebody's behaving in a scum-like manner in a debate by referencing your daughter, then call it out. Now, Nikki Haley also, though, tried to sound like the most moderate on stage when it came to women's health care rights. Even though her record and, you know, the wink that she kind of gives rhetorically shows that she could easily be just as extreme as many Republican politicians. She said, quote, "I don't judge anyone for being pro-choice, and I don't want them to judge me for being pro-life," End quote. Well, that's nice. But you are judging someone if you're in a position of power and you take away their rights. She said she respected the decision of states to protect abortion rights, even if she didn't agree with them. Really? If it stayed this way, where some states ban abortions and some states protect abortion rights, who doesn't think that if elected, and if given a fully Republican Congress, she'd somehow refuse on principle to sign a national abortion ban if one were passed and placed on her desk? That's where Nikki Haley really is on abortion. But again, in all cases, they couldn't make the case to why the vast majority of Republican voters who prefer Trump should prefer them instead. Meanwhile, Trump won another ballot challenge victory, this one in Minnesota. It's not a full victory, but the Minnesota Supreme Court punted in a way that I think is has the potential to be dangerous. Here's the way the New York Times wrote it up. The Minnesota Supreme Court on Wednesday dismissed a petition seeking to disqualify former President Donald Trump from holding office again under the 14th Amendment, which centers on preventing known insurrectionists from holding office. But it's important to note, and now this is me paraphrasing the story, it's important to note that while the court said it didn't have the authority to stop the Republican Party from offering Mr. Trump as a primary candidate, they did not rule on the constitutional merits of the petitioner's argument and noted that they are free to file the same claims later on, challenging Trump once he's on the general election ballot if he wins the Republican nomination. Now, this is, I find it to be extremely troubling and a dodge by the Minnesota justices, because here's the thing. Once somebody is the nominee of a major party for president, imagine the blowback if a court then were to say, you know, in August of next year, nope, because of the 14th Amendment, we're taking him off the ballot. Folks will say, and I think rightly, they'll say, wait a minute, why wasn't this dealt with when he first submitted nomination papers to get on the ballot? Not the general ballot, but any ballot in the U.S. when someone tries to run for president. It would be like, you know, applying for a job and you do a background check and there's something suspicious there. And the HR department says to the boss, yeah, but we can't really do anything now. But once you hire this person, or once they're one of the last two candidates for the job, then you can eliminate them from consideration. What? That doesn't make any sense. He either violated the 14th Amendment or he didn't. And so, no, this is not some private matter for the Republican Party. This is an American presidential election. And I think the Minnesota Supreme Court got this entirely wrong. It reminds me of the effort by the Minocqua Brewing Company last year to get a court to rule that Tom Tiffany, Scott Fitzgerald, and Ron Johnson were ineligible because of their, frankly, un-American actions on January 6th. But the judge in that case said ordinary voters couldn't bring the case to federal court without first going through the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which, as you know by now, was created for gridlock with three Republicans and three Democrats. And so, of course, the ordinary voters wanted to bypass that and get relief in court. But the judge said, no, you have to go through the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It's a completely wrong decision, which is easy for me to say, having never gone to law school. But yeah, I think that it is completely wrong. Sports, we mentioned Giannis getting ejected, and you'll hear more sports updates coming up in a bit, but the Bucks did beat the Pistons 120 to 118. Packers play at Pittsburgh. That will be Sunday at noon. Interesting fact here, the Packers have lost five in a row to Pittsburgh. They're not there very often, being in the AFC. Their last win there was in 1970. Their quarterback was Bart Starr. So we've got a little work to do to win in the Steel City. Joseph Pecky, coming up next, you're up north.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. The Israel-Hamas war continues, but talks are underway on a pause allowing humanitarian aid into Gaza and hostages out. Secretary of State Antony Blinken now suggesting the Palestinian Authority should oversee Gaza and the West Bank long term. Prime Minister Netanyahu says Israel should govern Gaza for an indefinite period. Former President Trump, a no-show at last night's Republican presidential debate in Miami. The Israel-Hamas war, a top issue, so was abortion. One fiery moment, candidate Vivek Ramaswamy mentioned Nikki Haley's adult daughter as a TikTok user while they sparred over Chinese influence.
In the last debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.
Your adult daughter, the next generation of Americans.
Haley responded, calling Ramaswamy scum. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The bill to use public money to make repairs at American Family Field is expected to go to the full Senate next week. Two legislative committees approved an amended version of the bill on Wednesday. While it is not known if the new bill has enough votes to pass in the Senate, Governor Evers says he would sign it if it made its way to his desk. The Waukesha School District wants a federal court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a former teacher who was fired earlier this year. Melissa Temple lost her job as a first-grade dual-language teacher in July. She claims the district retaliated against her for speaking out on social media about the song Rainbow Land being cut from a first-grade concert. Among other things, the school district says Temple was airing a personal grievance. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Matt Flynn Direct.
When it comes to shutting down the government, what I'm afraid is Mike Johnson comes in, he'll say, real smooth, I don't want to shut down the government. Here's a budget. And you'll go, hey, wait a minute. That has cuts in child care, Social Security. And he'll smile. He's sort of like Scott Walker. People who are unnervingly polite behind that kind of facade, they have a lot of inner weasels. They have too many inner weasels, quite frankly.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekdays from 2 until 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. 44 today, under partly cloudy skies, west winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. 29 tonight, chance for scattered showers. High of 39 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 34.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
We're back now on radio shows. Thursday, one of those days. Mondays, where we are talking about polling numbers that came out Wednesday afternoon from the Marquette poll, but also election results that came out the night before that. And which one do you think we're going to put more stock in? Joe, good morning.
Hello, it's good to be with you.
We've done this before. It's your go-to metaphor, but I think it's so apt here, signal versus noise. We had actual election results. We had polling before Tuesday, and then a new Marquette poll of Wisconsin voters released on Wednesday. Help us determine the signal from the noise.
Yeah, it's really funny. So last weekend, we saw the New York Times Siena College polls come out across, you know, the 1 year out polls in six battleground states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and I missed one, but not great polling for incumbent President Joe Biden. And Sunday evening, I got a text from a Republican. Boy, Joe Biden's poll numbers are so bad. He's in the toilet. Zepecki's having a terrible week, and it's only Sunday. And my immediate reaction was, what do I care about polls when this is a week where I get election results?
Right.
Polling is just noise. There are moments in time. I still think there's something really broken with the polling industry. And it's not even like malfeasance. Nobody's trying to get the numbers wrong. I just think the way we live and the way that people interact with these polls at this point, it's just kind of a crapshoot at this point. So in a week where I knew I was getting election results from around the country, for anybody to suggest that I would care more about the polls was the height of not knowing who I am and what I care about. And Tuesday night, there I was, sitting on the couch, watching election results from purple states, from red states, from blue states. And across the board, all of the trends pointed in one direction. Good night for Democrats. I'll take it.
Well, especially since it just continues a streak of Trump-era Republicans losing. For folks who hadn't seen it yet, Joe Scarborough, you know, he's got that show on MSNBC, and his tweet the next morning or overnight was, you know, how have Republicans looked since Trump got elected? 2017, Republicans lost. 2018, Republicans lost. 2019, Republicans lost. 2020, Trump, Republicans lost. 2021, 2022.
I'm sensing
2023,
a theme.
2023, and then he closes by saying, so Republicans, what's the plan? And again, the plan from the voting base based on polling, you know, Trump didn't need to be on that stage last night in Miami and yet still have this, you know, insurmountable lead over the five wannabes who were on the stage.
Listen, the Republican Party is not my problem. I hope they figure it out. I wish they could figure it out, because what happened was, once again, candidates, even in deeply red states like Kentucky, who embraced Donald Trump the most, this was Attorney General Daniel Cameron of Kentucky, got smoked by incumbent Democrat Andy Beshear in the race for governor. Not like, oh, it was a Wisconsin margin of victory, like a Kentucky blowout or a Wisconsin blowout, maybe is what we call that, right? So in Kentucky, that's what we saw, red state. In Mississippi, we saw a much closer contest than you do in presidential years. Mississippi, obviously a deeply red state.
And still, by the way, with deep problems in so mm-hmm. many places, mm-hmm. they ran out of ballots. And it's just so tough to say that it was, again, you know, by accident or by coincidence. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, who said, in so many words, we don't need the Voting Rights Act anymore, should be required to be a poll worker in Mississippi from this point on. And let's see how he feels then.
Yeah, Hinds County, 87% African-American, the state's largest county, home of the state capitol. Polling places ran out of ballots five different times. They had to run to court to keep the polls open, to make sure that voters who had been standing in line for upwards of 3 hours were able to participate. Thank goodness we don't see that in Wisconsin, in part because we have elections all the time, seemingly every other month. And our clerks have gotten really good at this. let's turn our eyes to Virginia. So instead of a red state, let's see what happens in a purple state, where the Republican chattering class was begging Governor Redvest, Governor Glenn Youngkin, to launch a rescue mission and run for president. And he was staking all of his political fortune on his ability to win a legislative majority in both houses, to get a trifecta, and to do what he believed was the silver bullet when it came to fixing Republicans' problems on abortion. We'll do a 15-week ban, he said. And guess what happened? As opposed to getting the trifecta, Republicans lost both houses of the Virginia legislature. It probably the biggest surprise of the night. There was, I think, speculation like flipping one of the chambers was a reach, but people pretty convincingly believed the other chamber would stay in Republican control. So Democrats do really well in partisan races in Virginia. And now that we're on the abortion topic, what happened in Ohio? Another red state that a Democrat hasn't won since, what, 2008, when Barack Obama won it? So that's 15 years ago. And abortion is before voters on the ballot. What do they do? Enshrine access to reproductive health care in their state constitution, following the example of states like Kansas, also deeply red. And so whatever type of state politically or in different regions of the country you're talking about, the results were the same. Republicans are viewed as deeply out of step and deeply out of touch with the voters in this era. They are dead wrong when it comes to the question of abortion. And in the era of Trump, the thing they are best at is losing. So if the Republican Party wants to continue to live up to the definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, be my guest. But I don't see things changing for them if they stay attached to the Trump train.
But now let's put that all back into one of the original frames of this morning's discussion, and that is a polling both nationally and this Marquette poll and this dissidence, or whatever you want to call it, of people who believe the economy is a dumpster fire when the data shows us how much better the U.S. economy is doing compared to all of the other developed countries in the world. Perfect? No, of course not, but not nearly as dire as what people say. They use terms like wrong track or favorability ratings and unfavorability ratings. And then you see the actual voting numbers. And I know, like you just said, maybe something's broken in polling, but I also wonder if something's just broken in how voters get information these days. There's not just three networks. You can choose your news. It's got to be so tough for the average voter to get, the unvarnished data on how is the economy really doing? How is Joe Biden or Tony Evers or Ron Johnson? How are they really doing? I feel like we have more information choices than ever, and yet it's tougher than ever to get the right or the best information.
I will add one other factor to this, and I'm not joking when I say it, which is more people need to be in therapy. I really genuinely think that the shortage of access to mental health care in this country, in the wake of the collective trauma that we went through during the pandemic, and the level of uncertainty and sort of unease that we all still feel, because we know just how quickly it can all go really, really sideways in ways that are profoundly different and more impactful than even the Great Recession was, than even 9/11 was. These other sort of tremendous turning points in the last, in recent American history. And so I think even people who they've got a good job, they're making as much money or more money compared to before the pandemic, prices may be up a little bit, but they were able to pay down some credit card debt during the pandemic. And we saw numbers on that this week. The kids are back in school. They're doing okay, but they and their friends are they definitely lost some time due to the pandemic. And mom and dad are a little nervous about whether they're going to ever catch fully up. But they're trying to put a good face on it, be optimistic, and just put their nose down and do that Wisconsin thing, which is the right thing every day, and go to work. And then with all of that, between getting those kids to soccer and, you know, volunteering down at the, you know, at the church, they don't have time for therapy. Mm-hmm. And so when a pollster gets them on the phone, for the first time, they finally have a venue to express, oh my God, what's happening? Right. And they, yes. like, it's like, a, like, that is what we mean in the political industry. When we say, like, it's a cranky electorate or it's a grumpy electorate. That what we're shorthanding is this idea that, like, voters are just kind of frustrated with everything. And even if things aren't necessarily as bad as they're telling pollsters, right? It's that, like, listen, you have a bad day at work, you come home and tell your partner, like, ah, today sucked. No, like, you had one bad meeting, everything else was fine. And so there's a sociological, cultural, like, thing happening here that doesn't make sense to me, because the numbers, to your point, in the Marquette Law School poll, they don't align for me. I just don't understand the 36% of Wisconsinites saying we're on the right track and the 64% saying we're off in the wrong direction, when the economic standing, 54% of people are feeling pretty good, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to 46. And that's probably the best those numbers have been in a long time. When, and partisanship can't even explain it, because when you look at, you know, how different politicians are perceived by the partners, like, Tony Evers is as popular as he's been. Well, if the incumbent governor isn't the one who voters are taking it out on, if only one out of three of them think we're heading in the right direction, who do they blame for this? So it's just sort of this, like, mess of numbers. And it's just that. It's a mess and it's noise. And I beseech people, tune it out.
It's a primal scream.
Yes. What matters is the signal, and election after election, it's telling the same story.
Okay.
Democrats, while not perfect, are more in line with the American people and the Wisconsin voters.
One last thing. I don't know how we change any of this, but you look at Ohio passing issue one and all the other abortion issues in the states over the past year and change. Ohio issue two, legalizing marijuana. And people, you know, always say, why can't we do that in Wisconsin? Not only do we not do it, Republicans completely abuse the process by putting things up on the Constitution for the voters that are already in the Constitution. But it's a good way to gin up, you know, people on election day. Do you envision any kind of a future where, whether it's all Democrats or all Republicans are in control, that that Wisconsin would someday have this kind of initiative and referendum for people to put things in the Constitution? Or are we kind of stuck with the somewhat long and convoluted process that we've got right now?
I think we're stuck with the long and convoluted process. But I do think former Republican front runner for a Republican nomination, Rick Santorum, kind of said the quiet part out loud last night when he said that democracies really aren't the best way to do things. And so I'll let that speak for itself. But here's what I will leave folks with today. Whether it's through a referendum, whether it's through the system we have, I am here to tell you that someday, in the not too distant future, we will have legal cannabis in this state, and women will once again have bodily autonomy and the freedom to make their own healthcare decisions. I fully believe that. You should too. It's not going to happen on its own. We have to go out and do what people across the country did this week in their respective state elections. Stay engaged, stay locked in, stay voting. We will get there.
That truly has been the theme of our shows this week, is that 1 year out. It used to be in the past, 1 year out was like, oh, I don't want to talk about it yet. It's a year out. No, 1 year out is start getting engaged, because
tell your friends, register your kids, get your kids' friends. They're 18 years old. We need it. We need them out there. The more the merrier.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you.
Greg, I think that one of the points that Joe made that I just want to reiterate again, when you look at this chasm that exists between the doom and gloom of the poll numbers and the actual results, is, like he said, we have been through a lot. And now, okay, not World War II, but 9/11, a pandemic that killed a million Americans, the threat of a stolen election and an insurrection. And it's a lot to process. And, you know, even though people are doing pretty all right, they just want to be like, they want to scream at somebody. So they scream at pollsters. Absolutely. I don't want to be a pollster.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to be a pollster either. I mean, I think it's not even the getting yelled at by somebody. It's the whole, like, yeah, I'd like to. Can I ask you some? Hello.
No, you can't. So Kristen Lierley and music history is next here up north.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, yeah, I want to shoot, baby, shoot.
Hey, ooh. How you doing? No, not you.
Oh, oh!
Mm-hmm. Little salt and pepper.
Yeah, that's nice.
Where'd it go? Where'd it go?
Sorry.
I had it all on the tee there for Kristen to go, girls, what's my weakness?
Men.
All right.
I just like to listen to you guys sing it.
I know.
I'm trying to figure out who is salt and who is pepper.
I'm about to tell you that today is the 54th birthday for Sandra Denton, a.k.a. Peppa, the one who's singing this, of Salt and Peppa, born this day in 1969.
That would be the you in the Brady Bunch screen that is us right now. That would make Greg salt.
No, that would make me Spinderella. You're... I'm in control of the board.
You are Spinderella.
I make sure all the music happens.
This went off the rails so quickly. I had all the best intentions. It was going to be just a great sing-along.
I'm sorry. I forgot to pass up the lyric sheets.
Okay, let's bring that out before we get in trouble and tell you that there was a song that was equally racy for its time, or a singer who was equally racy for his time, and it was Elvis, who had the number one song this day in 1958.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Old Swivel Hips here had Hound Dog on the one side, Don't Be Cruel on the B side, and it became the first pop record to sell 3 million copies.
I heard he has a cousin who's pretty popular these days, too.
He was, yes. And
not popular enough, though.
I think he was popular enough, and like I was just saying with Joe Zepecki, that, you know, they still have all these quote-unquote issues, you know, with voting down there in Mississippi. The scrapping of the Voting Rights Act for the old Confederacy, huge mistake.
Yeah.
Huge mistake when you see what people are still trying in Florida, Georgia, elsewhere. Anyway, this day in 1906, Theodore Roosevelt became the first sitting president to make an official trip outside the country in order to inspect progress on the Panama Canal. Let's see, this was the anniversary of the birth of Benny Mardones, the late singer-songwriter who screamed out this tune a few years back.
But I want you to know my goodbye. I'd pick you up, I'd take you in my goodbye.
That is one of my favorite songs sing.
If you're by yourself in the car, yes.
This is a shower song.
Especially at the end when he really lets go.
Oh, yeah. What's that, Greg?
This is a total shower song.
A shower song?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Belt it out in that shower. Oh.
Benny Mardones, born this day in 1946, passed away 3 years ago. Happy birthday to Nikki Blonsky. She's 35. She was the actress in the movie Hairspray, and we'll hear her a little bit later on. On this day in 1974, BTO, Bachman Turner Overdrive, became just the second Canadian band to hit number one with You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet.
By the way, the first Canadian band to hit number one in America also had Randy Bachman in it. It was the Guess Who, who topped the chart with American Woman in 1970.
The Canadian band with the song American Woman.
Yep. But that was not, I think, their original working title. But again, it's one of those things where the record company said, hey, you want to sell, change it to this. And they said, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Kind of like how On Wisconsin's original title was Minnesota. Did you know that?
No. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what?
Like the song On Wisconsin, our fight song, was actually written by a Minnesota alum. And the song was Minnesota, Minnesota. But it wasn't good enough for the U. So Wisconsin was like, that sounds good to us. We'll take it.
Do you know who owns the rights to that song?
No, who?
No.
Paul McCartney.
Yes.
I hope everybody there's appreciating the education we provide. There's a reason we call this segment the history lesson. As sometimes even the guy at the head of the class here by the blackboard is learning stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We played Billy Joel earlier. Piano Man did come out on this day in 1973. It was based on his nights performing at a piano bar in Los Angeles called the Executive Room. The song is a classic, but it actually only peaked on the charts at number 25 back in the day.
Wow.
We've mentioned, I think, maybe a couple of times already in the past couple of weeks, we get to 1985, and all things Miami Vice were big. We've talked about the album. We've talked about the show. The theme was actually the number one song this day in 1985 from Jan Hammer. It's one of those, you just know, you can name that tune in 0.2 seconds, you know?
My high school prom date wore the Miami Vice collection to prom, the pink tuxedo with the white pants.
Did he push
it? Have I mentioned before that was an option for our wedding?
Because we were planning our
wedding. We were planning our wedding in 85, because we were married in 86. And oh God, we laugh. Every time we'd get to the tux catalogs, you know, because we didn't have internet back then, you looked at catalogs, and there'd be these pages of Miami Vice tuxedos with all the pastel colors, and we laugh. We're like, oh, would they love that in Manitowoc County if we did a wedding like that, you know?
Well, over in Outagamie County, we were having a great time at prom with pink tuxes.
When my parents got married in Waukesha County, dancing was illegal.
And it still is. Yeah. But I'm ching.
This is the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall this day in 1989. And let's see, I got one left. Yes, the number one song this day in 2002 was by Eminem.
Oh, yeah. You ready?
I'd like to think so, but I'm now having that moment where I'm like, did I give you the clean
you
version?
Did.
Yeah,
you
I'm
did.
I'm pretty sure. Yes. Okay. All right. I'm usually pretty
important
good about that.
Distinction right now.
I used to have a joke where I would go on stage and go, I love Eminem. I think he's an amazing rapper. I have one of my favorite lyrics from him tattooed on my arm. It just says, Mom Spaghetti.
That's a whole meme thing.
I know. So that's
the whole Mom Spaghetti.
I stopped
thing.
Doing the joke then because I'm like, well, I'm a genius.
You're the pioneer of that
exactly.
joke. Yep. All right. Couple of notes here while Kristen's here. First off, we've got Hometown Health at 7:30. And we've already mentioned a couple of times that we're looking for your input, Kristen. We've had a good, not your input, Kristen. You, Kristen, are looking for input from the audience about the next 2024 iteration of Hometown Health.
Yeah. We've been doing Hometown Health for almost a year now. And civic media has changed. Our stations have changed. Our reach has grown. People are really getting it. So what we want to know is, what do you want to hear? What's happening in your community that you want to talk about? So we want to reach all the way out to, you know, the distant corners of Wisconsin. So please call, text, share your ideas so that we can give you the information that you're looking for.
844-967-2789. Kristen's going to hang around for a while, and then Hometown Health itself will get started at 7:30, where we will take your calls or your texts or other input as well. If you're heading out the door and thinking about getting in the car, keep in mind you can listen to us on the...
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air.
WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm